The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Some days call for some oomph to amplify your everyday look. Like when you want the look of false lashes without the extra effort. Reach for Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Volumizer Mascara. Or when you want all eyes on your smile, keep Empower Gloss Ultra Glossy Lip Serum in your bag. It's a burst of 24-hour hydration that smooths like a serum, shines like a gloss, and can be worn sheer or layered. You'll also look and feel your best with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin, not against it. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny Pena, Paris, and P and I joining you this week, but I have a special guest. The one and only, the man himself, Khalif Adams from Spawn Army. What's up, Ka?
What the deal, fam? What the deal, fam? Good to see you. I'm sad that Pete's not here. I miss Pete. I haven't seen Pete forever. Paris, I really don't care about. I hope he never shows up on Gamertag Radio again.
Oh, wow. Wow. I just invited him because he's like, hey, let's talk, you know? Look, so.
I hope year 25 for you. Actually, congratulations on year 25 of being
Oh,
on
thank
game.
You, man. Thank you. I'm
again,
old.
A huge inspiration to me and so many other folks in the space, and also really happy that, you know, Paris was only there for the last half of the years.
When all right.
You're already yeah. innovating and making your stardom known, and then this guy just jumps on the bandwagon at the end of it. You know, while I'm trying to eat my lobster mac and cheese, this guy over here is just coming through with some madness and nonsense. But, you know, I'm happy to be here to talk about the goodies today.
Yeah, anything new with Spawn Army before we go to the main topic of the show?
I mean, we're in year 13. We had our 13th anniversary
a couple
of weeks ago. Which is wild to say. And it just feels different, you know. I think like the gaming space feels interesting in a different way than year 5 or 6. And now we get a chance to expand a little bit with some conversations. And I have some ideas of like what I want Spawn on Me kind of 2.0 to look like in the next year or so. So hopefully details coming soon, when I get those things ready in mix. So
yeah. No, you know, in the future there was this podcast episode I used to record back in the days. I think I did like maybe two parts or three parts. I can't remember. It was community versus press.
Oh,
it's been so long, and I just want to hear from, you know, other creators, like their feeling about content creation now in 2026. And I think, ooh, I should invite you if I ever plan to do that. Yeah.
Oh,
it'll be interesting.
You should definitely do that. You have such a really dope perspective on it too, because you've been doing it for so long. Like, I think there's a real good conversation there in a real way. That'd be dope. I love that.
We should make that happen. We should make that happen.
Yeah, heck yeah, we should do that.
But Kyle, we got to talk about this game that a lot of people have been talking about. But actually, people have been curious about this game for a long time, ever since the announcement during the Game Awards. Last month, they showed a new game that's coming out. This is from former developers at Respawn, right? What's the name of their the studio now for this?
Wildlight.
Yep. So they announced Highguard that's coming out. Actually, by the time you listen to this podcast, it's going to be out. It's a free game FPS, right? First person shooter. And the curious thing about all this, man, is people been just talking a lot, especially a lot where people are curious, like, why the studio has been so quiet about this ever since the release of the trailer last month. I know you and a couple creators and media got to play this game for a while, right? At an event here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. First of all, let's start the conversation. Like, how was the conversation with you guys and the developers about that part where they've just been so quiet ever since the announcement last month?
Yeah, I mean, we were at an exclusive event this past week. Was first hands-on with press, and then creators came in the day afterwards to also kind of get some gameplay in. And we had a really good time talking to the dev team. We talked to the creative director. We talked to the head of marketing and product. We talked to a couple of lead developers on that space. And the kind of consensus was, you know, we had an idea of what our game was going to be. We knew this game was going to be a shooter. We knew that it was going to be multiplayer focused. Again, you have the pedigree of the folks coming from Apex. You have the pedigree of the folks who made Titanfall. All those things are in that space. You had a lot of Respawn older devs, or devs formerly from Respawn. So they know how to make games about guns and shooting and all those kinds of things. But they wanted to kind of match that up with this high fantasy layer that I thought was really important. And they said, you know, like, we have this really good idea of what this game is going to wind up being. And we were really happy to be able to be in the Game Awards. Like, we were able to be able to show the game off in a way early to a certain extent. And they didn't necessarily have, like, you know, the internet was talking about, like, this game ended the show. Usually the games that end the show are the biggest things on that slate. And it's the thing that you're supposed to get the most excited for. Uh-huh. And the reception wasn't exactly what they had hoped for. They got a lot of negativity kind of coming towards them and toward the game. And shared the sentiment of, like, yeah, that wasn't great. That didn't feel good. But what was really kind of impressive and impressed me was they really know that they have something interesting here. And I think the conversation around, like, not having the marketing push that you usually see for game rollouts, like what we're used to, does speak to the idea and at least the feeling that I came across by talking to people on the team that they know that they have something cool. They were going to shadow drop this thing before the conversation around Game Awards happened. And one of the things that was really cool was to hear, like, 2 years ago, they had basically put a bullet point, was like, we're going to launch our game on you know, Monday, today, when this is dropping, and saying, we're not going to ship outside of that date. We are going to hit our date. And most teams don't say that. Like, they don't say the exact kind of date or frame that they're going to be in and hit those dates and make sure they're going to do it. So I think there's a level of confidence there. I think there's a level of understanding, like, what they are bringing to the table, and also leaning into them understanding what they do really well. So I think a lot of folks who were, you know, kind of scouring the internet and looking for things to ding them on for no reason, hopefully they get to eat a little bit of crow. Because from what I played, all the conversations don't match what those discussions were prior to seeing what's happening on today. So happy for that.
Another thing too, before we actually talk about the game, is the place where the trailer got premiered. It was right at the end of the awards.
Yeah.
They didn't decide that. That was actually the producers, mm-hmm. Jeff, everybody else that they felt like this was like the right way to end the show. It's all about the vibes too, you know, it's the flow of the show, and they felt like this was the right way. Did they talk about anything about that too? Because I know there was a lot of questions about that, about, like, oh, it's free and all this mm-hmm. nonsense, which is not news at all, but, you know, did they talk about that at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, they didn't talk about the, like, free versus do we pay for it kind of thing. Because, again, that's information that no one actually needs. I don't think it adds anything 100% to the conversation.
Agreed.
Yeah. I don't think, and it's weird to see people now care about, like, placement in the Game Awards in the way that's, like, who paid for it and who didn't. Because the community doesn't actually care, but they say that they do. And the press actually doesn't care, but they say they do. Mm-hmm. But they spoke about, like, they really wanted to be able to show more. And with the version of the trailer that they had and the trailer placement, it didn't really give them space to be able to do the extra, a little bit of a longer deep dive that you would want for a game like this. Because this game is, I wouldn't say it's complicated, but it is detailed in the way that it asks players to do certain things. And you need to be able to explain what that is. And I think the trailer, to a certain extent, gave you glimpses of what those things would be. Uh-huh. But I don't think they fully encapsulated exactly what the gameplay experiences were. And I think that was the thing that they felt was a potential misstep. And what they wound up doing is, and you'll see it today, later today, with more content that's dropping from them, because they have a huge slate of content coming out with a bunch of videos and a bunch of explainers and all that kind of stuff. You'll then get a chance to see like more about the world, more about the wardens, the main characters that you're using, and more about the kind of like the main kind of flow of a match and the flow of that game. So they talked about it and they were like, you know, it didn't go down the way we hoped, but it was still a boon for them in terms of being in the biggest gaming show on the planet.
No, it's good to hear that they were really open about having this type of discussion.
Yeah.
at the event. Now let's talk about the game. Like, how different? Because I love Apex, and actually, a lot of people don't know this. I met Rihanna, my wife, because of Apex. Apex Legends. We're huge fans of that game, and still we play here and there, you know. But and the game always been having, you know, new content and everything for a while. New characters. How similar is this game versus Apex Legends, like the style and so on?
I think it's totally different, to be honest. Like, the one of the takeaways that they talked about too was like, this isn't Apex 2.0 for them. I think there are similarities in some things. I feel like there are things in terms of like momentum when you're sliding that feels very Apex in some ways. I think the gunplay, which is something that they really talked about as being the most important part. You know, Apex has some of the best guns and weapons in the shooter space in terms of just like design and sound and all of those things. So that comes back into Highgarden, I think, in a real good way. But outside of that, to be honest, this game is very different. This game is it's a new genre in not only in name, but in the way that this game plays, because it pulls from multiple inspiration spaces. So like Apex, Valorant, a little bit of MOBA stuff, even some Rainbow Six Siege stuff is pulling from. So it changes it a lot. They call it a raid shooter, which is new. And I think that they're coining that phrase, but it is just not like something that you've seen before. I think there are analogs to stuff, but it is not Apex in any way the way that I feel like it is.
Now, in this version, because usually when a game comes out similar to like Apex or anything like a Battle Royale, sometimes they have the squads, modes, and everything. Are they going to have duels, solos, you know, random matchmaking or whatever, you know, that type of thing in the game once it releases? Or that's something that's coming later?
They talked a little bit about limited time modes, which they did do in Apex a lot, which the Apex teams did, which was these kind of spaces for experimentation, which they talked about. I don't think they'll do solos or duos. I don't think it works well in the way that the game works.
Really? Okay.
Because the game is a 3v3 game, right? You need to have... and I actually think 3v3 is kind of the sweet spot for it, in the same way Apex is, right? Where you have these fairly large spaces and you want to give the player enough space to roam around and do things without feeling crowded. It doesn't feel like a battle royale where you have 60 people in a room. You want that space to be able to do the things within these unique phases that feel good. So I don't know. They may experiment with some stuff there to be able to do that. Like, I can see, and we'll talk a little bit more about the phases and what those encompass. But I think some of those pairings make some sense and some of them don't, because of the way you're having these two bases at the center of the battle, right? If you mix that up with variations on the players, how many players in each match, then you'd probably have to make more bases, or you'd have to do some other thing, and it feels like that would kind of mess up the flow of the match. So there may be some cool stuff. I just don't think it'll be that version of it.
Well, how many game modes you got to play at the event? You and the creators over there.
It's one main game mode currently, which is the kind of main raid sieging. Base sieging mode, but that mode has distinct phases in it. So like phase one is the loot and reinforce phase. So basically think about Rainbow Siege in the beginning of a match where you're fortifying the walls and stuff. You know, when you're putting the things up and you're like blocking off the spaces where people are going to come in. So you're doing that initially to stop the enemy team from hitting your generators that are at your base. You have three generators at your base. Two of them all three of them have a certain level of power, and you have 100% power at your full base, right? There's one in the middle that if you take that one out, and I forgot the name of it, the match is over. It's an instant win. But if you take either of the other two, then you whittle down the base's health to, you know, by incremental amounts of numbers. And that changes because it winds up being, you know, if you're playing on offense, you can take out a generator and that gives your team some points. But if the team that's defending winds up holding you off, then they also get some points. So you wind up losing some points in that space too. So it's this really cool back and forth of how that initial phase works. And then there's other phases that come on after that continue the match to get you to the next spot.
You got to win any matches?
Yeah. We won a couple. We lost a couple and we won a couple. And again, like the matches feel really frenetic. It doesn't feel like you're sitting still at all at any point. You're constantly moving. And I think the game does a really good thing of like telling you what to do next in some of those pieces. So like you had that first phase and then the second phase, you know, a lot of people saw the mounts in the game where you have like, you know, you saw a horse, but there are different versions. There's like a griffin. There's like a bear. My favorite one was like a big cat. It looks like He-Man, like a battle cat.
Oh, battle cat. Yeah.
Almost looks like battle cat. Mm-hmm. And you're going and getting this sword. And this is the second phase. This is called the intercept phase. So you're all kind of running towards getting the sword. The first person who gets the sword takes it to the other person's base. You plant it and you basically open up a gap in the shield on that other base. That then begins the third phase, which is the siege phase where you're putting the bombs on the generators and stuff. So it took a minute to understand what that was. And then once you got in the flow, we were like, oh, now we know what we're doing. Now we can coordinate. Now we can kind of like tell people where to go, what to do. And those matches kind of range from like maybe 8 or 9 minutes at the fastest to almost 30 minutes. And we had a match where we went back and forth. We literally were at the last phase where we were had like 5 points apiece before somebody wins. Mm-hmm. And that was like 27 minutes and it felt like 10 to 15. So it's like, it's moving really fast, but it feels super fun. So yeah, we got some dubs on day one.
Now, how many people could, in one match, how many people, players in the game at the same time?
Six. So it's 3v3. Each team has three wardens that they have, which are these mystical characters. The kind of ethos of the game is like, you're in this new world that came back from the dead. Everybody has died, and then they have this kind of magical space where magic actually is a viable thing. And that's kind of the foundation of where the wardens get their powers and all this other kind of cool stuff. But yeah, so far it's 3v3. And it would be cool if they had like observer cam like you do for esports and stuff like that.
But
that'd
be tight. I think that would be really, really tight.
It might come later. If there's enough fan base that really is looking at it in a competitive way, they talked about potentially having some of those tools ready to be able to kind of look at and see what that means from a competitive perspective.
Do you think they would do something like that where it's like a tournament and whoever plays go to the next round and you see the leaderboard or whatever? Is something, do you think that's possible in this game?
I think this game would totally be esports ready. And I think it speaks to the, you know, what this team has already done, right? They've seen what live service games can do. They've seen tournaments kind of pop up from a game that they've made and have an understanding of like what makes esports interesting. I think this game has multiple layers of it that could be esports ready if you just make those matches, you know, tournament kind of matches, and that, it would be real cool. It would be real dope.
No, that's dope. That's dope. Now, usually, you know, we get to see games like this that comes out. Sometimes they have a pretty decent amount of content there available.
Yeah.
Battle pass, cosmetics, and everything. Mm-hmm. Do you see this game having a lot at launch and then more in the future? Or something that is just light right now and then later they're going to be adding more stuff?
This was actually one of the most surprising things from the event was, I think everyone who looks at live service games freak out a little bit because they're like, can your studio actually keep up with content? And you know players are going to kind of run through and burn through content really fast. They showed us the entire first year's plan for content. The next drop is in terms of content. So it'll drop today. 2 weeks from now will be their first drop of new content. So that means like new warden, new map, new like these tools, all this kind of stuff. And then they talked about their battle pass ideas, which they call their war chests. And the war chests basically are like almost akin to the way you saw Halo do their battle passes. You can buy them whenever you want. Even when a season is gone and you finish the season, you can go back and complete stuff and you can go back and go buy older war chests if there was something in there that you missed. So they talked a lot about just like, you know, main pillars of stuff of like not wanting FOMO. There's no RNG. You know, all the purchases are cosmetic. There's no free to play. I mean, there's no pay to win stuff. They know the war chests never expire. Those things to me were really smart. And they talked about just like the amount of money that's there. They don't want to gouge you, right? You know, like I've seen cosmetics that are like $30, $40 in games. They were like, the most that any cosmetic will cost in our game is $20. And that's like a $20 mount. So it ranges from like $9 to $20 in terms of the range that you see for stuff. I think it's super smart. They have a lot of stuff that's coming at launch that I think is going to be, you know, a lot of content already. And then knowing that even 2 weeks later, they're going to be dropping stuff then. And then like after that, every other 2 months or something to that effect, like that's smart. They've learned a lot about what it takes to make a live service game.
Yeah. And how was the vibe with the people that were invited at the event? You know, the creators and journalists too, right? At the same time, I know there was multiple sessions. Yeah. So how was the vibe of your session, you know, once everybody got to play this game and after the event too?
I mean, I was hanging out with folks from our homies from Shaq News. We had a brother who was on my team from 3D Juegos.
Oh, 3D Juegos from Mexico. Yeah.
Those cats are always dope. I love their content.
Yeah.
We were playing against the kids from Kinda Funny. So it was me, it was Andy, Snowback Mike, and Bless were there. So we wound up, they were sitting in a spot. So I was like, I got to sit here just in case we got to play them. I want to play them. Mm-hmm. But the vibe of the space was great. It was journalists the first day. I really wish we had gotten to play again on the second day with the creators. I would love to see what their reactions were. Jeff Keighley was there hanging out and, you know, playing the game too, which was fun to be able to see him at the event and see him getting the game in after, you know, bringing this game to the world. So the vibe was good. I think the press came away, at least in my estimation, way more impressed than not. Like they had talked about, we had a good Q&A session at the end. And a lot of the press folks were like, man, thank you for kind of holding on to some of this conversation until this event, because it really was an actual nice surprise. The internet loves to spoil everything. And it was kind of nice to not know and then go in and be like, this game is dope, and be able to come back and now talk about it. So I think the press was really happy with it and the way that it kind of displayed for itself.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that because, you know, I think a lot of us are so used to the traditional marketing from like the 90s and early 2000s and so on. And,
yeah,
you know, especially when it's like big games and so on. But I remember, you know, seeing other companies releasing Shadow Drop, a game mm-hmm. out of nowhere, mm-hmm. no promotion. It's just word of mouth. At that date, it comes out, right? Mm-hmm. I remember when Apex Legends was announced, was coming out. I remember there was word about it during the weekend of Super mm-hmm. Bowl weekend. Actually in February of a couple years back, right? So, yeah. I remember that game came out right the day after Super Bowl came out, and the buzz just went. Everybody was just crazy playing that game, right? So, mm-hmm. I think marketing nowadays in gaming has changed a lot. You know, I think we're so used to seeing 1 year of just promotion, uh-huh. or sometimes even more. We're like with GTA or so on, yeah. so on, right? But I think it's important to trust. I boasted this multiple times online, but I think it's important for us to trust the process and mm-hmm. see how it goes. There's reasons why they wanted to stay quiet about this. They didn't want to just put everything out at the same time, like because at the same. Here's the thing. Do you want us to be surprised? I think being surprised is more impactful when we find out on that day mm-hmm. than everybody finding out and then the game comes out and then it's like there is no surprises there. You get what I'm saying? So,
well, the problem winds up being, and even if you think about games like Hi-Fi Rush, right, that got Shadow Drop, right? it's like that game wound up being really fantastic and was, again, a genuine surprise for people to be able to know that that thing was going to be coming out that day. Apex Legends, the same way, have been like, oh my God, a new shooter is coming out from the folks who made you X, Y, and Z is coming out today. Like, there is a space now where I think the community has an expectation to know every single thing about every part of the game before it even gets released or gets shown or gets told. I don't know if that necessarily benefits everybody in the same ways. Like, I think, again, we want people to be able to make good purchases for themselves and have good information about what potentially is happening. But I think there's always a other side to that coin where we've now burdened and have this expectation to know every single thing. When, to be fair, we know audiences kind of don't care, right? They're like, is it good? We don't know. You won't know until you play it. But like so many conversations before Highguard was even had this event, like there was already, oh, it's Concord 2. Oh, they haven't shown anything, so it must be garbage. We want this thing to fail because this trailer didn't look the way we felt like a game trailer should look. There's all these pieces of this conversation that spoils the well for not only the press, but it spoils the well for the rest of the audience and for players. Because again, you're seeding this discontent and this discourse that doesn't do anything but provide negativity to people who already want to be negative about anything new. And that winds up being bad for the industry. It winds up being bad for dev teams. And it winds up being a thing where they have to then change positioning, which I think, again, is smart marketing. When you see that people aren't digging something, you have an ability, if you have time, to kind of pivot. But it winds up kind of reducing the ability to have an actual opinion about a thing by consuming it. And I think that's where good commentary comes from, and that's where good opinions come from, is like actually engaging with the thing before you while you get a chance to play it, as opposed to just making up stuff on the fly for no reason.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Now, another question that I forgot to ask is like, how many players are going to be, not players, characters, that's going to be available in the game day one?
Eight. You have eight wardens on day one, and then you'll get another one in that bump that happens 2 weeks after launch. And then I think in every new DLC pack or whatever they're going to call it, you get one more warden. So you get another warden, another base. There was a graphic that they had. I have to go look at it again. But they had multiple versions of how much you're going to get in each new bundle of stuff.
Also, similar to like Apex. Yeah. When a new season pass comes out, there's a new character available there. So when you buy the season pass, the new character pop is part of it too, or is something where you have to buy the season pass separate and then the character is separate? Is it
like that? They come into those packs. I forgot what they're called, but I know. Let me read off exactly what they have at
sure.
launch. So like five maps at launch.
Oh, five maps. Okay.
Five maps, six unique bases. And they all have different layouts and vulnerabilities, so it's cool because they're not all symmetrical. Like, some are kind of traditional symmetrical mechs, some bases. Some of them are, like, L-shaped bases with a lot of stuff around, so like that. You have the eight wardens, which are your playable characters. You have three different mount types, 10 different weapons, three raid tools. And the raid tools are important because those are how you, like, break into a base. Like, you have an axe that you can break into the base to get into rooms, and you also use that to collect Vesper, which is the currency in the world. And then you have 11 weapons or raid tools, three power tiers, so like grays, purple, orange kind of stuff, and then 10 additional lootable items. So that's your armor, your amulets, saddles, and then other stuff. So yeah, it's like every they call them episodes are what they're going to call like the DLC packs. So roughly 2 months, and they're split into two parts with new core content, so that's more maps, bases, modes, wardens, weapons, mounts, raiders, and I'm sorry, raid tools and loot items. So it's like you're getting a bunch of stuff in each one of those new episodes.
So is this also cross saves, cross progression?
Cross progression, but I think what they said was whichever platform you buy content on, it stays on that platform. So, like, if you buy your DLC stuff on your PlayStation version of the game because it's free to play, all your stuff is going to be there. So, like, it winds up being, if I'm remembering correctly, stores store platform specific in terms of that. But I do think that stuff will come in terms of cross progression. You can play on, I think, multiple platforms and your progression will transfer. But I think the store stuff will wind up staying in those one spaces.
So no cross play at all then?
Oh, no. Cross play is happening. So you can play with other platforms.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Cause I was like, wait, you know, I have PlayStation, Xbox. And
now I gotta get off the thing.
Did they mention anything about Nintendo Switch 2? Is it a possibility of a version in the future? No,
potentially. I mean, so far it looks like, and again, I'm reading off their fact sheet. So it says PC, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 5. What I did ask, I didn't ask about Switch, but what I did ask was about like mobile devices, because I've been playing on my ROG, Xbox ROG Ally a lot. I was like, this game feels like it would fit really well on that platform. And they were like, we're not really playing in that space. We really want to play around in the other spaces first and then see what might potentially could happen. I think this game would be really fun on one of those platforms. Like a Steam Deck, of course, it makes sense because there's a PC space there. But like, it feels good enough to be able to play with those kinds of sticks on those devices in that way. So, yeah.
I think that was a great question, because it's all about, for me especially, it's the text. If the text is so small or the layout too small, it's going to be really difficult to see that if you play this on a handheld device, you know? So, is it something where can you change the settings, like text a little bit bigger? Anything with accessibility? Did I mention anything about that?
We didn't ask that question, or at least in the Q&A session that I was in, people didn't ask about accessibility. It was a thing that I definitely felt like I should follow up on, and I just didn't have enough time. But I think the folks, I mean, if they're also folks who worked on those other games, especially Apex, which did a really good job on accessibility, I think there will be some pieces in there for sure. Like, I think that is now kind of the standard of how you run that into big multiplayer games at this point.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Kyle, I know you've always been interested about this game from the beginning. What was it for you, like, lessons learned from this? Like, now, seeing from the outside, you know, you're not a developer, but from the outside, I think gamers should just, like, chill and just see what happens, man, instead of coming up with predictions. I'm talking about like way too early thinking that the game is going to fail or what, because it's something that we have never seen before, you know, or we don't see it enough, you know, with these type of way how to market a game.
I mean, even from a less marketing industry perspective, right? If I'm just thinking about myself as a person who loves video games and loves playing video games, it is very rare to see something new kind of come to market. It is nice to be able to see something a little bit different come to a space that is fairly saturated and is coming at it from a different angle that I feel like I haven't seen before, right? And I've seen so many games and so many, you know, iterations of, you know, here's Battle Royale shooter, here is this kind of shooter, here's this kind of thing. And to finally have something that feels a little bit different in a way that is really compelling and entertaining and super fun, like, again, you'll be able to have that experience where if you're a casual, you're going to have fun. If you're a sweat, you're going to have fun. Like, you have that. There's very few games where you have that kind of range where everyone can have a role and you can be good at a very specific thing and be a contributor to your team while having, you know, those moments where you're having those crazy, like, aha moments of like, oh, snap. Like, I remember specifically there was a moment where we were in a match. We had gotten the Swordbreaker. we were doing with, again, what they call the intercept phase, which is almost like capture the flag, because you're like chasing someone down with the thing. We're like on a, they, you can see it on the other side of the map. There's a big storm that pops up above the where the Stormbreaker is. So you know where it's going to be. Everyone is going to be focused at that thing. We literally on some like young guns mounted up business, jumped on our horses, ran to the spot, had a big fight. I'm on my horse shooting somebody, got a kill, jumped off the horse, spun and like slid, capped another dude in the head, and then we got the Stormbreaker and like was off to go get to their base. That's just a very different thing. It doesn't feel like anything else that I've played before. Mm-hmm. In those moments we're like, oh crap, like they might have something here that is cooler than what we expect. I want players to go in with an open mind. I think if you go in with an open mind, especially with it being free to play, there is no loss here for anybody involved. Like you get a chance to make your own opinion. You get a chance to have some fun with it if you're digging it, and hopefully it sticks with you and you want to play more of it. So I think I want people to just be able to feel like you don't have to listen to the internet to make up your mind about things. Like you can actually, you know, spend time with things and consume it and make up your own opinion. And you should about this game.
Yeah. And look, I've been to multiple events. I know how it is when you go and you get excited. But what about those that are always bringing up, oh, it was a free trip, all this? Of course, they're going to say positive things about the game. You know, I know it's not like that. But, you know, for those that are out there.
Here's the thing. And if you want to clip anything out, clip this part out.
Okay.
You and I have been in this game for multiple years. We've been in this game for over a decade, if we just want to say that alone. Do you know how much money you would have to pay me to pay me off at this point? It is not cheap. I don't come cheap. When people say that to me, it hurts my feelings. Not because people are trying to call me a shill or any of this other stuff. It's because you think I would cheapen my work to be able to just get a game or access to an event to sell out all the hard work I've done to build a good rapport with an audience that I've built, a smart rapport with a smart audience, to understand that people in the industry actually like the work because it's smart. It makes me annoyed and mad that people would throw that at me only because I know that my price tag is high. And you are trying to say that I'm down here talking about, yo, just give me a flight in a hotel and that's going to pay me off to talk good about your stuff. No one in the industry is doing that who is worth their salt. No one in the industry, and mind you, we're probably a little bit even bit jaded because we've seen so much stuff for so long. And I can admit that for myself sometimes. There's no amount of money you're going to pay me unless it's like crazy dough. You gotta give me dough where I don't have to see y'all no more kind of dough. Like, I don't have to hear your mouth anymore kind of dough for me to spend that money. So I think, again, everyone who's coming out of this event, both creators and press, you will hear their opinions today across social media. It is up to you to understand if you believe them or not, because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Either you believe me or not, but I'm not going to lie to you because I have no reason to. It doesn't benefit me in any possible way. So I think, for the haters are going to be the haters. The haters are jealous because they're not getting invites to these kinds of things. The haters are mad because they're not getting these exclusive interviews. The haters are mad because they can't form sentences and they can't read. And the haters are mad because they aren't as cool as us. I'm just going to say it. We have worked and bust our asses to be in this space, and we deserve to do cool shit. And if you can't rock with that, I'm sorry. The microphones are cheap these days. You can go buy yourself whatever you need to and make your podcast and make your content and do it the way you need to do it, like we've done over a decade and plus. So, like, there is no excuses because we didn't have it as easy as all the other folks do now. Uh-uh. It is infinitely easier to get yourself out there in front of people. And if you can't do it, that's not on me. That's on you. Work harder. Stop talking.
Yep. Ooh, that's a great way to end the show.
Bars.
Bars. Bars. Yeah, no, I agree, man. It's just funny seeing everything. You know, I'm more like, let me see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if the game is good, we'll talk about it. If the game is not good, we'll talk about it too. But it's not even out yet, and there's reasons why the process is different right now, you know? So
here's one thing I do want to say too, before we cap it off.
Sure.
I do want to give props to Jeff Keighley though.
Oh, okay.
And I talk about that in the video that we put up today. Go check that out, please. Go follow.
Oh yeah,
us
go right now. Subscribe.
Please subscribe because we want to get that stuff. Especially if you're on Spotify, go check us out on Spotify. We're trying to get monetized on Spotify. Anyway,
let's do it.
Jeff Keighley gets crapped on a lot by the industry, or at least by the community, for putting the game at the end of the show. For if it was paid or not, wherever they put the game in the run of the show. But what I will say is, after playing the game, Keighley has a really good eye for talent. And I think people don't remember this. There have been multiple games that have popped off that he had a very kind of instrumental part in terms of giving it visibility and that game doing really, really well. Kojima stuff is easy because it's Kojima, but also like Death Stranding was a thing that was a little bit funky and weird. And it got put into a space because Keighley really believed in it. I think that's one version of it. I think there are other versions like Highguard that I think once people get a chance to play it, it will give you more respect for what he is doing in that vein to be able to say, like, I am a good steward for what I think is good art. And I think that's an important space. There are very few people who can do that in the industry. I think I do that. I think you do that. I think he does that. I think some other folks in that space are trying to, again, showcase why good games are here and why games are fun. And I just feel like I got to say that on the record to be like, you know what, Jeff? It was good to see you at the event. It was great to be able to hear you talk about this at the Game Awards. And I feel that, and I hope that the folks who were talking crap about you have to eat a little bit of crow because of this game being freaking dope. And after all the internet was like, this game is going to fail, it might not. Mm-hmm. It might do actually fairly well. I've heard more positive stuff over this weekend from people who were haters initially than I ever did before. Shout out to Forbes for that, maybe. Shout out to everybody else for doing that stuff. But it was cool to be able to see the tables flip a little bit in favor of the dev team for doing something that they thought was super cool and different. So
I call it the moonwalk.
Yo, there's going to be a lot of backstepping today, man.
A lot.
There's going to be a lot of backstepping today. There's going to be a lot of, I didn't think it was going to fail. I thought it was good. I really wanted it to do well. I'm like, y'all are fronting. Just say that y'all want the clicks and just dip out. But
Of course. I call those grifters, man. But here's the thing, though, Kyle. Like, I think, you know, the thing that people have been requesting the most.
Yeah.
They're so sick of the same games. The same IPs. I want to see new IPs, new experiences. And look, this is an indie studio. It's not a AAA indie studio, right? So we want to support indie games too, right? So seeing this, I'm like, oh, this is cool. Let's support this type of thing. Because look, we've been seeing a lot of layoffs, a lot of same things have been going on with like the past couple of years. And seeing this, it's a win from the industry. You know, for me, this is a thing that I feel like we should promote more because the past couple of years, we've seen a lot of people getting laid off or they quit and they start their own thing because now they don't want to work typical corporate jobs, right? They want to do this like on their own, and that's what they're doing. And I think this is something that I feel like by creators and media creating content saying that a game is going to fail, that's going to affect the studio. Once they release the game and everybody thinks it's going to be a bad game without even seeing anything, then we're going to see layoffs again because we're promoting something that we didn't even know if it's going to be good or not. Let's wait until the product comes out.
Well, think about it this way. And I have personal experience having worked on Concord. So I know what the internet can do to a game. And again, no matter what you feel about that game or no matter what you feel about the company or any of that stuff or any of those things, it is a really interesting perspective to have when seeing this happen on the internet. So whenever people see this, they will probably say I'm biased to the idea, and that's fine.
Of course. But yeah.
The thing that really struck me was hearing Muhammad Alvi and Jason Torfin from the team who was a part of the QA talk about how awesome it is to not be beholden to a lot of that stuff. They are an independent studio. They're not beholden to stockholders. They're not beholden to all the things that usually muck up and gross up the space for a studio, where they have to then make a thing for the sake of just having to make money. And it was really nice to be able to hear that, because that also speaks to them thinking about how do we really embrace community in the biggest and best ways? How do we really embrace community in a way that keeps us nimble? So like when things need changes, we can speak directly to the community without having to go to the corporate overlords and figure out like if we can actually say those things, do those things, or connect with those folks. It is good to be able to see folks in those spaces do well. It is good because, again, you spoke to it about we want new experiences. And when we have folks spoiling the well, like I talked about earlier, studios don't make new stuff. They make the old stuff that everyone has already played because they know they make money and they know that those are things that are safe. This is not a safe bet of what they're making, what they've made in Highgarden. And it's cool to see them talk about wanting to take big swings and wanting them to do stuff that nobody else is doing or trying new stuff. So I'm always in favor of that. I'm always going to support people who want to do new stuff. I love new things and new experiences. And if we can't get to a space where we can have those discussions and have those be built in to the game dev experience, then we're losing a ton of talent and we're losing a ton of ideas and we're killing it in its crib for the sake of what? The internet being mad? That sucks.
Yep. 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 And I think we should definitely wrap it up from there. I think this is a very important conversation, man, to have these one-on-one conversation about it too, man. And I can't wait to sit down and play this game, man, with you and everybody else. I think it's gonna be dope, man.
I'm hyped, man. I'm ready for us to get out there and roll, man. Like I'm ready. I'm already looking and remembering the mounts and stuff that I want. Like I already remember the cosmetics that I was like, I'm buying that day one. I know what I want. So like I'm ready to roll out and it's gonna be super fun, man.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hopefully I see you in line, and everything. So that's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Yeah. All right, everyone. Ka, so one more time, mention the podcast and where people can subscribe and support Spawn on Me.
Please go check us out. Spawn on Me is a premier podcast spotlighting people of color in the video game industry. We are now in year 13. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, all the places where content resides. Go check us out. We're, again, pushing for more on our YouTube channel, our TikTok channel, and, again, Spotify. We're trying to monetize on Spotify, so we need a certain amount of listener hours from the community to be there. We literally just redid our 2025 buyer's guide because the file got corrupted. Go check that out. It's on the feeds. Shout out to 2025 buyer's guide now on the feeds right now. And the video that is all about Highgarden time that I had playing it. Is up on the feeds now on our YouTube channel as well. So please go give that some love, share it around the internet and give us some love at Spawn on Me. So we're always good to chill with you, fam, and be able to rock with you. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for the last minute conversation here about the game, man. Hopefully we could do more of these in the future too, man.
Anytime you need me, fam, you know where I'm at.
Yeah. And shout out to Paris and Pete from Ka.
Lobster mac and cheese, baby. Lobster mac and cheese in Vegas, baby. I heard you talking crap, Paris Lily.
That's a long conversation. All right, guys. Until next time, make sure to head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Also, post your comments and feedback. And send us your thoughts about Highgarden. Are you guys planning to download this game and play it? And I want to hear everybody's thoughts once they play it. I'm very, very curious, man. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Until next time, everyone. We're out. Take care.
Bye.
Deuces.